your phone, Jack. But also in farming, and now in the upstate, and I'm deeply invested in all of the issues we talked about tonight, and why the potato was really this evening. Brings us to Shelburne for this. But so this is particularly wonderful and important, and I'm so excited to be included in. I think Hannah, who spent a day coming upstate to work with me and to figure this out, and we're all doing this as a, you know, whatever, for fun, for friendship, so here we are.
Okay, we're going to do like a little patchwork thing around the writing of Robert Walzer, who I don't know if you ever read him, but I didn't before, but Tiana coincidentally had. And I found this piece called Snowdrops, and I'll read a little tiny bit on Robert Walzer from the foreword to this book by Susan Sontag, who I think was an upstate person. Yeah, yes. Sometimes, yeah. We'll bring it out. So she says, Walzer, he spent a lot of his life in a sanatorium, but before then wrote a lot and was Swiss and wrote a lot of his writing in the 20s and 30s, or 10s and 20s. Walzer's life illustrates the restlessness of one depressive temperament. He had the depressive's fascination with stasis and with the way time distends, is consumed, and spent much of his life obsessively turning time into space, his walks. His work plays with the depressive's appalled vision of endlessness. It is all voice, musing, conversing, rambling, running on. The important is redeemed as a species of the unimportant. Wisdom as a kind of shy, valiant loquacity. And then her at the beginning of her next paragraph is, the moral core of Walzer's art is the refusal of power, of domination. So now, Gianna, we'll read for you.
But we like him because, like, other, because
he's fun.
He's fun. there's New Hansen is like really serious and like, dark, and, but Robert Walzer's just so loving and full of life, and even though he's crazy, but here we go.
No, this is about snow and purity, and also about a time. He's talking about the cycles of the seasons, and it gave me a nostalgia for the cycles of the seasons.
All right, so I'm going to read it, and then we're going to play music. And this piece is called Snowdrops. I've just been writing a letter in which I announce that I've finished a novel, with or without pain and distress, that the considerable manuscript was lying in my drawer ready to go, with the title already positioned in packing paper at hand for the work to be wrapped in and sent in. Furthermore, I have purchased a new hat, which for the present I shall wear only on Sundays or when a visitor comes to me. Recently a parson visited me and found it nice and most proper that he did not look at all like a professional one. The parson told me of a lyrically gifted teacher. I intend to go before long on foot through the spring country to this person who instructs the village school children and writes verse as well. Beautiful and natural that a teacher should concern himself with higher things and have experiences of a more profound sort. Yet, on account of his profession, he has to deal with something serious, with souls. Here I think of the wonderful life of Mary Schoolmaster, Maria Woods, or Allenthal, a kind of idol by John Paul, the book or booklet that I've read with delight, I don't know how many often times, and will probably read again and again. The main point is now the spring is just beginning again. So here and there I'll succeed in writing a pleasant-sounding line of springtime verse. It's wonderful that now one need not think at all of heating. Thick winter coats will soon have outplayed their role.
Right?
This is why I'm reading.
Maybe I'm like
Everybody will be glad if he can stand around and go about coatless. God, there are still things about which everyone is united and agrees nicely with one another. I have seen snowdrops in gardens and on the cart of a peasant woman who was driving to market. I wanted to buy a bouquet from her, but thought it not right for a robust man like me to ask for so tender a thing. They are sweet, these fresh, shy announcers of something beloved by all the world. Everyone loves the thought that it will become spring. It's all folk play. An entry costs not a penny. Nature, the sky above us, is conducting no mean politics when it presents beauty to all, without discrimination, and nothing old and defective, but fresh and most tasty. Little snowdrops, of what do you speak? They speak still of winter, but also already of spring. They speak of the past, but also sassily merry at the new. They speak of the cold, but also something warmer. They speak of the snow, and at the same time of green, of burgeoning growth. They speak of this and that. They say,
Stone showers, and on the hills,
lies
a fair quantity of snow.
But where the sun reaches,
it has already melted away. Yet all sorts of hoar frost still come this way. April is not to be trusted, but what we wish will nevertheless win out. The warmth will assert itself everywhere.
Snowdrops whisper all kinds of things. They bring back to mind Snow White, who in the mountains found a friendly welcome from the dwarves. They remind one of roses because they are different. Everything always reminds one of its opposite. Just wait, the good will come. Goodness is always closer to us than we think. Patience brings roses. This old good saying occurred to me when recently I saw snowdrops.
Thank you.
spring's roses.